Hello, and welcome to another episode of Point to Point. It's the show where I drive from one point to another and try to get to the point. Today's point is back to school season and nobody knows how to drive. Second point. I've been actually not playing Silk Song. I have opinions about it, but mostly the opinions that people have about the opinions. I recently read a piece, this morning actually, on No Escape VG. It was a really good piece. It was a response to one that I haven't read yet. But it was about Team Cherry's decision not to send review code to reviewers. And I think they mentioned it as like, you know, it's a Kickstarter game. Let's not send out review copies to people early. It just wouldn't be fair. I also think that just the nature of that game, you know, it's going to be hard to talk about a game like that without some spoilers. And I don't know how familiar folks are with how embargoes work, but typically there is a, you know, talk about the game up to this point. Like when I reviewed Citizen Sleeper earlier this year, there was definitely a, hey, like, let's not talk about the ending because we want people to find out about it. And especially with something like Silk Song, which is, you know, it's one of those games, right? Like, it's like saying, you know, don't spoil the end boss of Dark Souls. Like, don't spoil the major abilities that you get because, you know, that kind of ruins the, it kind of ruins the draw for people to play those and, like, the discovery of them. So on one hand, I kind of get it. On the other hand, there is this kind of part of me that is a little bit disappointed that, you know, reviewers weren't able to get an earlier thing, because on one hand, like, Silk Song has been the game that is coming out for 7 years, is this highly anticipated thing, and while I, you know, kind of fully expected Team Cherry to deliver a good game, part of, you know, especially in these economic times that we live in, like, part of the benefit of criticism is, you know, having opinions that you can follow and understand and help make an economic decision on. And like, yes, Silk Song is $20, I think. Like, you know, not a huge outlay for people who want a big game and have been highly anticipating this, but it is kind of this microcosm of, you know, Silk Song or Hollow Knight has sold like a bajillion million copies. I think it's like over 11 million maybe. So it is, like, highly anticipated. There is a lot weighing on this game. And not wanting to have that launch potentially sullied by a Metacritic rating that is, like, you know, 79 instead of 83 or whatever. Like, I get it. Like, you don't want to do that. But it also does, as the No Escape piece kind of mentions... Well, as the No Escape piece is a reaction to, this notion that it erodes the power, I guess, or the ability for games criticism and games media to kind of be relevant in these spaces. Like, if Team Cherry can get away with it, this highly anticipated independent game, you know, what's to say Rockstar doesn't just say fuck you to GameSpot and doesn't give any media anything and say let the masses decide, because it's the most highly anticipated game coming out next year. It's not like it's gonna sell bad, you know, like it's gonna come out, it's gonna be huge. So what's even the point of having someone critique the story? As a person who writes about video games, I think there's a really big point to writing about the story or writing about how that game plays, or, you know, the launch, just like the launch bugs and how the online stuff works. Like, there's plenty of reasons to write about video games on day one. I think the overreaction that the No Escape piece is talking about, though, which I do agree with, is that I think that it's less important to have a review these days. Like, we've kind of talked about this a few times on this show, and I brought it up on podcast before, and I've even mentioned it. I've seen other, like, games critics kind of mention it themselves. I will point you to the Jeff Gerstmann review of Crackdown 3 as, like, kind of beginning of my thoughts that the review is dead, even though, you know, I just published a Sword of the Sea one. Because I think that games coverage is changing, right? And it has been for a long time. And I think the impetus is for people who want to be in this industry writing about video games and talking about video games to find what the next thing is, which is really hard because none of us have any money to do that. Like, you know, normally you have big corporations who are willing to have a Skunkworks team to find out what the next big thing is. As these teams continue to be gutted, we're talking about like 7 people trying to cover the news of an entire industry, also staying on top of criticism, also staying on top of new stuff coming out, also staying on top of how bad the industry is in general for labor. And, you know, it's pretty easy to realize why no one has figured out what the next thing is. Also, because the next thing right now, at least, the next obvious thing is like this switch to, you know, Let's Plays and like pretty like influencer stuff that you kind of expect, like reaction posts, shit posts, things like that. Like memes get way more traction than written criticism that takes several hours, like several people's hours to come up with something good, let alone the amount of time it takes to actually play a game and understand it, to like write something about it. So what do you do? You know, like if I was Team Cherry, I probably wouldn't give out copies to this game. I think that there is the kind of malicious look at it. I kind of look at it as also just kind of a blessing. You know, the worst part is, right, that like IGN and a couple of other sites put up reviews in progress, which is just them saying, here is a landing page that has all of the stuff that we will eventually say about this, and here's like a very basic opinion about the first like 2 hours of this game. So that they have it squatted, right? Like when someone types in Hollow Knight Silk Song review, it will be an IGN page because they had that page. And, you know, like many guides websites, they have had that page probably parked for months, probably years, actually, just to get the SEO traffic to it so that it like ranks pretty high to begin with. And since the incentives aren't there to like make money on that stuff as much anymore, because Google is a nightmare website, you know, you have to do what you can. On the other hand, I think the thing that really resonated with me the most in that No Escape piece, which I really think you should go read, like it is a very well written piece. It has like a lot of stuff in there that is kind of resonating with how I feel about it, is I think there's two things here. The first that's mentioned is the conversation and the evolution of video game discussion and criticism is happening in small spaces. And you know, partly, you know, a little selfishly makes me feel good, right? Like I run a teeny tiny website that has, you know, we'll say less than 500 impressions across all of the things we put out, like podcasts, website, videos. Like I think probably every month we have less than 500 impressions. Many of those impressions are the same people, just across different media. So it's nice to be like, hey, like, don't worry about it. You didn't get Silk Song code. No one else did either. And that's fine. And it's kind of true. Like, I kind of feel that way. I still haven't played Silk Song because I, you know, have other reasons. But it makes me feel better knowing that, you know, we're not, like, struggling as a website because we didn't get Silk Song code. No one else did. It's fine. The industry continues. It also does this thing where, well, if no one else got code, I'm not going to push myself to play this game I know I'm not going to like. And that's kind of the thing that is popping up most for me in this Silk Song discussion and the general chats about everything Silk Song related, is that games discussions will continue to happen. Like a lot of discussion about games, like I guess a good example, right? Like right now I am playing through Bloodborne for the first time. 10 years after that game came out, I am finally going to be able to join the conversation and have an opinion on Bloodborne and, you know, a whole bunch of things as pertains to Bloodborne. Like, I will know how I feel about that combat. I will know how I feel about that story in a way I never possibly could because I just never experienced it. That discussion is just as relevant now as it was when Bloodborne came out. Like, yes, like, the purchasing decisions have all been made already. Like, people are still, you know, if you're going to play Bloodborne, odds are you are already playing or have already played Bloodborne. And yet, here I am, right? Like, I think that the discussion about media and criticism only evolves as media and criticism gets older. And so we're able to have these bigger discussions about, you know, what is Bloodborne in the context of 2025? Like, is there a new criticism of this game that is possible because of the different times we live in? And I think that's true. Like, I think that it is, like, very much true that there is a critique and a discussion and an angle to playing Bloodborne that is different after COVID than it was before. And that's after spending an hour playing that game, right? Like, and I think the same will be true of, you know, I've just finished Act 2 of Expedition 33, right? The discussion on that game will continue to get crazier as we move forward in criticism. Like, that entire game is a discussion on criticism and art itself. And as more art becomes available, as more voices begin to discuss that art, there will be different and better opinions about Expedition 33. And I think that this is the thing that really bothers me about this coverage of Team Cherry not giving review code to critics, is that I don't think it matters. And I think that we continue to get caught up in this notion that, you know, we have to have the most stuff out immediately, like right when that stuff launches. And I think at this point, we all kind of know the circumstances that stuff is done in. You know, like, I cannot imagine that if someone were to get Silksong code, how early they would have to get that Silksong code before that game releases for them to have an enjoyable time that is kind of the average, we'll say, way that people are experiencing it. Because really, like, you get code for a game, in some instances, I've got code a week early, right? Sometimes you get real lucky and you get it 2 weeks early. Is that how a normal person's gonna play? Like, if I didn't, but if I had got code for Avowed early, right? That is a, depending on how you play it, a 20-hour RPG or a 80-hour RPG. And either way, I did not play it in 2 weeks. And I would not have played it in 2 weeks for review because that sucks and I wouldn't have fun. Like, I wouldn't find the things or the interesting points of view that I have about Avowed that have been really engaging to chat with my friends about and to write about had I needed to burn through it. And I think that that's the thing with a lot of this, is there is this structure within games criticism and games media right now that we need to get something out now. Like, the impressions are there now and the impressions won't be there later. But that's not true. And, like, the beauty of this is that that's, like, Hollow Knight is telling us that, right? Like, the journey of Hollow Knight from indie game that had a $50,000 Kickstarter to indie game that is selling 12 million copies, it is not the same as, you know, something like Stardew that kind of just rocketed ahead. Like, we're talking about a game that over the course of 7 years had a slow burn to selling, like, a ton, like way more than most AAA studios, you know, ever plan to. Like, they are outselling Final Fantasy sometimes. And, like, that's nuts. Like, that's a slow burn because, you know, Square Enix will tell you that they're disappointed in every single game that they put out because it didn't hit their expectations within the first quarter. But Team Cherry, they didn't have expectations, right? Like, they just put out a video game. And then that video game ended up slow burning its way to 11 plus million copies sold. over 7 years. We can have opinions that take 7 years to develop. And I think that that is a healthy part of this industry, because we've been hearing constantly that, you know, the youths aren't buying video games the same way that people like me and probably a person who listens to a video game podcast is, right? So we have some time. This industry isn't really going away. It's really not crushing it right now, but it's not going away. So I guess we can just take our time, kind of get to where we need to with some of this coverage, and just give this stuff some time to breathe. You know, I'm already sick of the get good mentality about this game. You know, I haven't touched Hollow Knight in a few years because I wasn't having fun. And I feel no desire to go back to that game because of the zeitgeist right now. But it is one of those things that if I was trying to make this website a content mill, and I was trying to scrape together all the impressions I could possibly get, I'd be playing Silksong right now, and I'd have some really mean things to say about it, and that has no bearing on the quality of that game. From what I've seen, it looks great, and it seems to be making all the people who wanted it to be good happy. And, like, sure, we should have some room for critical voices, but I'm not going to go into playing that game for the impressions when I know I'm not going to have fun. Like, you're going to have a bad time listening to me talk about it. I'm going to have a bad time playing it. And at the end of the day, all I'm going to do is get all the people who either agreeing with me in our misery, or all the people who disagree with me really being mad about my opinions. And, like, that's not a healthy way to cover video games or enjoy this industry. So just don't. Like, let these things breathe. I will go play Bloodborne, and I will have opinions about Bloodborne, and I will finish this video on Avowed, and we will discuss art in Avowed and in Expedition 33, because that's the weird angle I want to take on this. And hopefully you like my weird angles and you hang out because of the weird angles. You don't have to hang out because I'm hitting all of the stuff on day one. So yeah, I don't know. I have a lot of weird opinions about this stuff, and it kind of bums me out how it's been kind of destroying the industry from the inside out as we, like, continue to do the same things, you know, clamoring for first impressions on this stuff. And really, at this point, I've been through, you know, the PlayStation 2 era. I've been through the Xbox 360 era of, like, here's the Xbox magazine first impressions of this, and, like, I don't really care anymore. I want to have, like, interesting stories to read about interesting games that allow me to think about art in a different way. And I guess that's kind of what I've always wanted 70% Complete to be. So hopefully we're doing that. But that's also, you know, if you notice that we aren't covering the latest stuff, like, that's why. I only cover stuff that I want to cover, and if I have something interesting to say about it. So thanks for watching. This has been a weird, negative, rambly Monday morning, but hey, that's fine, I guess. Go check out that Zero Escape VG piece. I'll try to link it in the show notes if I can. Have a good Monday morning. We'll catch you next time. Thanks for watching. See ya.